Are you someone who doesn't take life too seriously? Do you sometimes find that a shot of whiskey isn't only deserved, but needed? If you said yes to either of those, welcome to the Whiskey and Lace podcast, where we have honest chats with everyday people, shit shows and all. I'm your host, Erica Altus, and I'm here to empower you to be the best version of yourself and perhaps share in a shot of whiskey. Now pour yourself a glass of wine and let's go.
You're doing okay.
We're off to a great start. You guys have recorded this intro like four times now. So here we go. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Whiskey and Lace podcast. Today's guest is someone I've known for half my life, which is weird as fuck to think about. She's the first person I live with after moving out of my parents' house. She's a wife and a mom to three kids. She owns a sports bar in downtown Santa Rosa and just recently opened up another restaurant in Ringgold Valley. She's my workout and go for a walk partner, and we hold each other accountable. But most importantly, she is one of my very best girlfriends. She's loyal as fuck, and she's that friend who sends you a social media post that reminds her of you every single time. And she is there no matter what time of day. She's one of my ride or die friends who I'm so lucky to have in my life. Everyone, please welcome my very Jesus Christ, Lana, why am I having such a hard time? We're just going to roll with this, you guys.
Got it.
I hate intros. I'm sorry. everyone, please welcome my very good friend, Leanna Kane, or maiden name, Leanna Osiello. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Of course.
Sorry, this intro was such a struggle. It's not like I don't see you every day or something.
It was hilarious. It's good.
We're just going to go with it. But everybody, please welcome Leanna. She honestly is one of my very, very, very best girlfriends. And so why don't we actually start off by giving everybody like a history lesson on how we became friends. I'll let you tell the story and like how we, you know, met, but also like how we ended up becoming very close.
Well, okay. I actually want to know, when's the first time you remember knowing who I was?
Well, I feel like we did. So we both grew up Catholic.
Yes.
And we had a confirmation class. Like, is that what you call it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like on Thursday nights or something like that at St. Eugene's. And I feel like you were in there, but like we weren't like friends in that group.
And because I actually remember you from before that.
I remember
from freshman basketball.
Oh, yeah. Tell the story.
Yes. I just remember guarding you and being like, fuck that bitch. You know, like, so you made an impression. Because you were aggressive. We were aggressive. We weren't very good, but we were like...
You have to tell everybody what you would wear when you were playing basketball.
Oh, I wore knee pads. I knew. I knew I was going to be getting that ball and diving for it.
I had to look ridiculous. Attire while playing basketball. Like, were your knee pads so sweaty? How did you run in those?
I don't know. I just was like, you know, I wore sliders for softball and I was like, you know, I'm going to wear knee pads for basketball because I know I'm going to dive for that shit.
Like, all right. So they put her on me.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we met and then, formally in confirmation. But then what happened? Like I ran into you somewhere.
Okay. Yes. I have this memory very clear. It was in April of our senior year and you were talking to a baseball player.
Yes.
At
Creo. What was his name?
David something.
David something.
I don't know his last name.
Yeah.
And you walked up and you were like, hey, Leanna, how's it going? And it was prom and you were going to go to prom with him and
Your prom.
Yes, our prom.
Because we went to different high schools.
Yes. And you were like, who are you going with? And I said, I'm going with Mark Altes, which by the way, I had not told him. We were just really, really good friends.
And yeah, he was like best friends with Mark in high school.
And he was already out of school. He was my like backup plan. And honestly, I was kind of already out
Mark,
of high school.
Mark, you hear that? You were her backup plan.
Well, I mean, we were best friends.
Yeah.
You know, it was great because that was a Friday. And you guys recently just had this podcast and we're telling the story. And I was like, hello, I was there.
Yeah. Wait, were you at that party?
No, I was not at that party, but I was in that weekend because I knew it was a Friday night party because I was cleaning my room Saturday morning and Mark called me up at like 10 o'clock in the morning and said, hey, are we going to prom together? And I was like, yeah, how do you know that?
Because she had told me and I didn't know she didn't ask
him. So Erica asked Mark to prom for me, my senior prom. And he's like, I met Erica Arnrich last night. And just the way he said it, I was like, oh, you did, huh? And I mean, immediately I knew he was smitten with you. And so, yes, I brought him, but you guys danced together the whole time.
Yeah, I stole her date.
Yeah. Everybody. And I was totally fine with it. I thought it was cute.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's like how we rekindled. So then we became very... Well, we actually didn't really become very close even then.
No, you were cute. You were like, I was on my way to San Diego.
Yeah.
So like I was leaving. But you, every time I was around, you were like introducing me as Mark's best friend to people. Aww. And I remember feeling like that was really sweet. I knew you loved him so much that you loved the people in his life.
Yeah. You know? And I wasn't like threatened by you because I knew that you guys were never like romantically interested in each other or anything like that. I knew that you guys were just like good friends. How did it come about that we did live together? Like where, how, who initiated that? I think like I was like desperate to get out of my parents' house for sure.
Oh yes, you were. So we moved back from San Diego, Tamara and Leah. Well, Leah stayed, but Tamara and I moved back and we were going to move into Tamara's house over by the junior college and we needed an extra person. And you were just talking and confiding in me about wanting to get out of your parents' house and, you know, all the things.
I was ready to leave the nest.
Yeah, it was a couple years after high school at this point. So I convinced you. I was like, and I invited you to live with us before I even asked Tamara if it was okay.
And it was Tamara's mom's house.
Yeah. She was like, what?
And I had
like,
never met Tamara, right? I had never met her. Maybe like Portofino's or something.
We weren't friends yet. Right. Like we weren't a group of friends yet. So that was like, oh, I've got this girl. She's going to live in the den.
Yeah, because you guys, my room was like a dining room with doors that then had another door that led into our laundry room. So my wall for my head, like my headboard, literally backed up to the washer and dryer. And it was so loud. And my doors to my bedroom were glass.
Like, yes, we knew when Erica entered and left her room every single time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you were very, you had a presence.
Yeah, how was it living with me?
Yeah.
You were wanting like, to know.
We could definitely... It was your first time living outside of the house.
She's trying to be nice, but just let it go. Yeah. It's okay.
Well, you had this kind of energy. It was like that. I don't want to say
intense.
Like stomp. Yes, intense. Like when Erica left her room, we're like, oh, Erica's coming. But I mean,
you guys, you can't see this because obviously it's just audio, but she's bracing herself on my chair right now. Clearly, I was intense.
You were intense, but like, I remember when you said to my mom and when she was talking about like souls, do you remember this conversation? No. Like, yeah, that we've lived many, many lives and stuff. And you're looking at her like, what? I'm brand new. And I felt that energy when you left the house. Like I was happy to be one of your friends that was like, it's okay. Like smoke a bowl, chill out. Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, because like I even now, like when people are like, if I'm like getting a massage even, they're like, relax. I'm like, I can't.
Yes.
I don't know how to do that. Go limp on my arm. Like, no, this is me relaxed. They're like, oh my God, you know, but we should paint a picture though of what that house like looked like.
Yes. Okay. So again, you and Tamara weren't necessarily as close in the beginning. And I just happened to have the furniture or the decor to bring to this house. And it was very bachelorette pad. I had like Coors Light mirrors and
she'd bring home like neon signs. Yeah. And we're like, what the fuck is this? Because she worked in a bar. She's like, oh, this is cool. Let's put it in our house.
Yes. I was a little like,
and instead of a kitchen table
or something.
Yes. And instead of a kitchen table,
we had a ping pong table, which I loved.
It brought a lot of good times.
That was a lot of joy. A lot of joy. A lot of ping pong playing at that house. It was such like a crash pad college life. But I think you girls were definitely like 6 months in, like, okay, we want this to be more homey and cozy. And when I was at work one night, you broke my ping pong table by trying to push it out into the backyard.
We're like, okay, like it's time to make this house a home.
Yes, yes.
No, it was fun. We had so many parties there. And it was like, I'm so grateful that you guys took the chance on me for sure, you know? And I think that that's how we became so close.
Yes.
It is how we became so close. And then like, it was nice because you guys already had your group of friends. And I had good friends in high school, but I didn't have like those long lasting friendships from high school. I have one really good friend from high school and she's still one of my best friends. But you guys had this group and it was so nice like at the time because you know how like girls are. They're cliquey and they're, you know, they don't often welcome other people in. And Tamara, God love her, but she wasn't at first. She was like, who the fuck is
she's a Scorpio and she's loyal as fuck and it's hard to penetrate. But once you do... Sorry.
Our mind just went to sex.
I know. I was like, that's what she said. No. You might have to edit that out.
No, we're not.
God. Okay.
She meant that in the best way possible, Tamara.
We love you.
We love you. No, she was, she's not a person that when you like walk up, like you're like, oh, I'm in. It takes a minute, which I respect.
We all appreciate that. We all totally. Actually like go with her intuition on people a lot too.
Oh, totally. You know? She's yeah. a good read of character. She's very strong in her convictions and you want her on your fucking side.
Yes. And you won her heart over that year. And I witnessed that. Yeah. And that was fun to witness actually, because you were so hilarious. I just, the things also like going back to living with you, you collected all the Starbucks.
Oh my God.
What were they? They're the like Christmas sleeves. Things, the sleeves from Starbucks, because you loved them. And it was like the 12 days of Christmas sayings.
So stupid.
You loved Jessica Simpson.
Oh my God, I did. I loved,
loved that
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I loved that show.
And you were like, I'm like her. And I was like, Erica, she thinks tuna is chicken.
Be smarter than that, bitch. Oh my God. So people want to know, like, is there any funny stories from when we lived together at that house? Like,
oh my God, are you going to have me tell that story?
Go ahead.
Oh my God. Okay.
I think I've told it before on my stories, but for anybody new here, this is a good one.
This is a really good one. Okay. It was a Thursday night. I think it was the market or something. There was something about we were underage and
yeah,
you were
not
21 drinking. Yeah. At bars. I was not out with you. I was doing schoolwork and
she was the responsible one.
Yeah. That night. And the way that our house was set up is I was in the kitchen on the computer, but if I like just leaned over to the left, I could see the hallway into the bathroom. And that's kind of key. You had already come home. I didn't see you come home that night.
Mm-mm.
And I was up late writing a paper. But again, every time you left your room, we heard you. So I heard the doors and like the stomping. And I looked down the hallway thinking you were walking to the bathroom and the bathroom door was open and no Erica in the bathroom. But my light was on. So I get up.
In her bedroom.
In my bedroom, yeah. So I get up and I go to my bedroom and I get stopped as I open the door because you're sitting on the Papasan stool and it stops the door. And I look in and I'm like, Erica, what are you doing? And you're like, shut up, Janelle. Who was the girl that you were with that day. And you had lifted the stool cover off the Papasan stool and you were peeing in my room.
Through the wicker
stool. And I'm like, oh shit. And Mark was actually in your room.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, Mark, she's fucking peeing in my room right now. He's just like, huh. He just starts laughing. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Okay. So you get up and then you just go back to bed because you thought you were in the bathroom. And I like go get the mop and I clean up your pee and I throw everything in the shower. And then I go back to writing my paper. And now.
And then the next morning I woke up and my tailbone was fucking killing me because at the bar before I got home, we were at this bar called Third Street Ale Works. And if anybody is local, they know that there's an upstairs and I was upstairs and the stairs going like up and down, obviously, were metal. And I was like six steps up from the bottom and I literally ate shit, you guys. Like, boom, 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 boom. The entire bar turns around. Like, it was loud. And Janelle, again, was with me at the time. And she looks at me and I look at her and I'm like, come on, let's go. And she's like, dude, you just fell down the stairs and everyone's staring at you and you just acted like it was no big thing. So I wake up and I go to the bathroom, in the bathroom now, and I see our mop bucket. I'm like, oh, no. And so then I went in Leanna's room. I'm like, Leanna, what happened last night? She's like, oh, my God, Erica, you peed on my floor. I'm like, what? And why does my tailbone hurt so bad? She's like, you fell down the stairs, I guess, at Third Street Ale Works. I'm like, oh my God. So not my finest moment, but very funny memory to relive from time to time for sure. But
true friends.
So yeah, you know,
pee in my room and I'll clean it up and
totally. And
move on.
So it's, you know, what's cool is that like, you know, we outlived that and we're still really, really good friends. And like I mentioned in our intro, Leanna and I feel like I see her more than any of my friends. Again, like we walk daily. It was funny before we started this podcast, Lena's like, I kind of don't know what to expect. And Mark was in the room. He's like, oh my God, it's just like another everyday thing. Like it's not a big deal. You know, like you guys talk all the time. It's so true. And I'm really lucky to have a friend like you that even if we go a few weeks, it's like, which isn't often, it's like, okay, we need our fix. You know, like she's one that I can talk politics with and we can not agree all the time. And we do like have those life conversations, you know, about motherhood and things happening. And I always know that you're not going to tell me what I want to hear. You're going to tell me the truth.
Right.
And I think that I'm very fortunate to have a friend like you in my life. We're going to cry. because you need those people in your life that hold you accountable. But I do know that there's a lot of listeners who are wanting that. And so I'm wondering, like, what do you think it is about our friendship? How do you think we do it? Why does it work? How does someone our age, like, maintain friendships like we have?
Honesty, which I think you hit on, is 100% important. And just being extremely transparent and vulnerable with somebody is also just, like, that's, for me, a real connection.
Yeah.
You know, if I feel like I have to hold anything back or not be 100% myself with somebody, then I actually, at this point in my life, don't even really want to be with that person or spend that time, you know,
and yeah, like, surface level energy. Friendships aren't worth the time and energy.
No, it's life sucking. And, you know, because you're kind of doing a lot of surface in your work world or customer service, things like that. And so it's like the people I choose to spend time with and talk to when it's on my time, you know, it's got to be 100%. And what I love too is, and this is hard because it does have history, is, you know who I was at 17, you know, and you've watched me grow, but there's still 17-year-old Leanna in there.
Totally.
17-year-old Erica.
Well, and you specifically, like, our paths were so different because Leanna got pregnant, not once, but twice,
before
very quickly,
25.
Before 25. And all of us were still in, like, rage mode.
Oh, yeah.
So how was that, like, being in a group of girls, like, having a group of girlfriends and being in your 20s who were in very different places?
What's so funny is nobody would have guessed it would have been me because
she was, like, a virgin until she was what?
Yeah, 19. Yeah.
I don't mean to, like, make fun of you, but it's true.
She'll tell you. I was very particular and didn't, like, I always said, like, save my dessert for last. Like, I didn't do that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was going to go to the Peace Corps, and I thought I was going to hit every continent before I started a family. You know, 18-year-old me was very free-spirited and hippie and wanted to go travel and wasn't really trying to, like, even do college, even though I was a good student. I took a lot of breaks, and I did all pair. Thank God I did travel a lot before I met Matt. But, you know, when I met Matt, it was just kind of, like, magnetic, and
I love her husband so much too, you guys. Like, he is the fucking best. I always say Matt is the best guy to go on vacation with.
Oh yeah.
Like, vacation Matt is awesome.
He's a good guy.
You guys, like, your energies were so great. And I knew that when you met him, like, I could just see it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one.
Yeah. It wasn't logical. it was just something that happened and then changed my course of life. And I'm fertile. He's fertile. So that's why we had kids at 23. I was pregnant at 23. So.
And she was pregnant before she got married.
Yeah.
How did that come with stigmatism from anybody or, like?
No, my parents did the same thing. So
they did?
Oh, yeah. They were. It's so funny because we're 40, right?
Yeah.
So I was just in Santa Cruz at Shadowbrook Inn where my parents got engaged in December of 83. So
really?
40 years ago. And they conceived me in December of 83. So they did kind of get engaged around the same time, but then they ran up to Reno and got married in February. So their 40th anniversary is in February and I came in October. And it was exactly when my mom was 24. Well, I'm 24 years older than Riley. And so we're all the year of the rat. Like, we are all 24 years apart. So it was very cyclical.
Yeah.
So I didn't have judgment because I kind of did the same thing my mom did.
Do you feel like you were met with judgment when you got pregnant with Ella?
I judged myself. I was like, damn it.
Because how far apart? I did it again. What the fuck, Matt?
They are less than 2 years apart, but we were getting married at that point and I had to move my wedding date. And so I had told myself, like, okay, just maybe, you know, be safe, be careful. And we weren't. But no, actually, it's kind of funny. Not judgment, because you guys are my best friends, but you guys were the most hesitant. My D-Unit crew was the most.
D-Unit stands for drunk unit.
Yes. Yes.
And there's five of us.
Five of us. Yes. And I feel like,
we're not alcoholics. It's just, like, there's a story behind that too, but.
Well, yeah. Yeah. How I met my husband, actually.
Yeah.
Beer Olympics. And we were D-Unit, the drunk girls.
We'll post a picture.
Yeah. It's good times. Good times. And we're still D-Unit. I feel like your followers know about D-Unit. But when I told you guys, I felt like you guys were like, what? You know,
I'll never forget. I was driving between Visalia and Paso Robles for work when I was working for Roxy. And when she called me, she's like, I have to tell you something. I'm like, what? She's like, I'm pregnant again. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, that's with Ella. I'm with thinking Ella. Like with Riley.
Oh, no, where with was, Ella.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say I judged you, but I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, two.
Jesus, girl, walk it up.
I know.
But everything happens for a reason.
And I was finishing college at that point with a one-year-old. And yeah, that was stressful.
Yeah.
But I had this feeling because I didn't find out the sex of my babies, you know.
Yeah.
I had them be surprises. And I had a feeling, the only like glimmer of hope, because I was pretty sad I had done like accidentally and didn't get to choose and, you know, wasn't celebratory at getting pregnant in either one of those times. I was like, it's my girl. Like, I just knew. And so then
intuitive
boy girl. And then, you know, I had the boy girl, I was 25. And then it was time to kind of like start focusing on, okay, what's my career going to be and how we're going to get a house and, you know, the whole thing. So we kind of did things backwards. And then 5 years later, I knew I wanted another one and I had Mac.
What's great about Leanna having kids at a younger age, you guys, is that I get to be there through this time in her life right now with teenagers. How's that going?
I feel like it's toddlers all over and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
You're doing a really good job.
The one thing that I like is I do have a good memory.
Uh-huh.
I do remember being 15 and I don't remember being 8. You know, right. I might remember some things like Max 8 right now. And I kind of remember some things about 8, like my fears and things like that. But 15, I remember like who I liked. My heart,
how
like skipping a beat when I would like be, you know, in a room with somebody that I had a crush on. Like I just, yes, I can be 15 again. And so it's kind of a double-edged sword because I am looking at my children and one's in high school, one's in eighth grade. And I'm like, oh my God, I know exactly what's going on, but I don't know exactly what's going on. It's been 20 years. They're different people and they give little glimmers of themselves to me. And then they close up because they're adolescents. So it's hard because I want to be super honest, but I also have to be the parent and I have to have the boundaries with the rules and I can't be that honest about everything, you know? So for me, it's walking that fine line of communication with them.
Right. But you're doing such a good job. Like, I mean, Leanna will call me and we'll like go back and forth on things because we do parent differently. And I think that it's great that we have one another to like, I'll never forget like when you called me a few weeks ago and we're like, God, I had a hard mom like moment last night, you know, and we go through things together and I give her advice and, but you're doing such a good job. And your kids are such good kids. They're going to be fine, you know? But we also live in such a different time than, you know, we can bring ourselves back to 15, but we can't bring ourselves back to 15 with a phone.
Or social media.
Yeah. So, like, that's a whole other thing, you know? And you're doing it so well. And I'm just glad that you're paving the way.
Right. The frontier parent here.
Yeah. For sure.
For sure. Well, and the funny part, too, is when you're going through it, I'll be like, oh God, I remember that. And it's kind of like when you guys all were going through the toddler years or just even the newborn to toddler years. And I was like, it's okay. This too shall pass. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it,
You know?
And the things when one of our friends is bragging like, oh, they're sleeping through the night. I'm like, yeah, well, we'll see if that lasts, you know,
or vice versa. You're not going to be sleeping through the night when they're out and about as teenagers.
Right.
But, no, you're doing a good job, but, I don't envy your position at this point right
teenagers,
now.
Teenagers, so. But I feel like they're
short. Do you
think
it's easier than toddler?
No, but when you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah.
So like, no, I mean, you saw my Christmas card and like that quote brings me to tears and I'm going to start crying now.
I know. Okay. You guys, Leanna has a hard time with her kids leaving the nest.
They're not even anywhere near leaving the nest. No, it's more so I think, and you, I'm gonna
cry because she's crying.
I didn't cry when I sent them to kindergarten. Like I wasn't that mom. So the emotional part that I'm having now is I see how fast it goes. So I wasn't like that in the beginning, you know? So I think it's the light at the end of the tunnel of
Say that you're far away from it, but you're like not to make you cry or like freak you out, but like you are nearing this point of, and you're seeing your kids wanting freedom. You know, like right now I'm still in it where like Austin doesn't want to be home alone, you know, like he still like wants me around, you know, but there's going to be a time when he doesn't. And you're in that. And I'm sure that that's hard as a parent to see your kids wanting to have their freedom from you when they've depended on you their entire life, you know, that's
going to
be a hard transition.
It even starts with choices that they're making in their daily lives that you can't or can't even have influence on. You really just need to watch them make their own choices.
Right.
Which is a great thing, but it's also like, it's the beginning of the acknowledgement of like, I've created people to go out into this world and start their own lives, you know? And
you've guided them, but now it's like, okay.
Okay.
Good luck. Be a good contribute to society, please.
Please. Yeah, I know. And I guess we're turning 40. Yeah. And, you know, what's that next step? So I do see life sooner than you guys are at right now with kids not around. You know, responsibilities to get them places and do things for them are already starting to release from me. And I'm like, oh, wow, my independence is coming back. But then it comes with a sadness.
Right.
It's a weird process. I'm at the beginning of it, though, you know, but still it's weird.
Yeah. It's going to be really weird. Like when you're in your house and there's no noise.
Yeah. Like, don't stop. She's crying. That, yeah.
It'll be okay. Sure. I'll come over. I'll be your noise.
For sure. I mean, that quote, like, you know, you put your kid down and you never pick him up again. You know, quote. Oh, that one always gets me.
I know. It is. I mean, I personally, like, this is going to sound terrible because I love my children, but I'm kind of looking forward to the quiet.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, and you know what? You know what? I talked to a friend, random, Scott Weiss.
Yeah.
So weird that he's being brought up in this podcast because I see him maybe once a year. Love the Vice family, but his daughters are almost all out of the house. Two of them are gone. He has three daughters. And I ran into him at a restaurant. I was like, how is it? Is it weird that like your kids aren't around anymore? And I'll always try to remember what he said. He's like, it's weird. It takes some getting used to. He goes, I get to date my wife again and I get to have her all to myself. And it's like, so exciting. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that. I love that he like found a positive in the transition in the new chapter of his life in his wife and his relationship with his wife. I'm like, that is so fucking rad, you know? And so like with the transition and how hard it's going to be to get used to that, like, I think that there's hope in that you get to go travel with your husband and like, you know.
Which, circling back to being young parents, we didn't get a lot of time.
Right.
You know, we didn't get a lot of time to plan our goals and our dreams.
Totally.
We talk about that all the time.
Oh.
And this year we're going to go to Italy for my 40th, which is very cyclical because I was there 20 years ago for my 20th birthday. So I'm excited to bring my partner there and go.
Matt in Italy is going to be a great time.
Oh, yeah. He's going to speak Spanish, like bad Spanish.
In Italy.
He's going to be like, hola, amigo. And I'm going to be like, shut up.
Ciao, honey. It's ciao.
It's ciao.
Well, and speaking of marriage, Leanna has a unique situation within her marriage because not only is she married to Matt, she works with Matt. They own a family business here locally. And like I said in the intro, that was terrible. They also just recently opened a restaurant and I got to witness my friend opening a restaurant. And I was like, holy shit, you guys like deserve a round of applause. And if you are local, please go visit Home Slice in Ringgan Valley or either one of the restaurants. Honestly, you guys run such a amazing establishment. Like, we knew this from Osceola's. Tell us a little bit about Osceola's, about owning a bar, about opening a bar and working with your husband, because all of us are like, how the hell do you do it?
Well, it starts with my dad. He's owned a bar for 43 years now. We had one in the Bay Area. So I will say how I'm in this industry and how I ended up landing on this, it all goes to him. When I was younger, he had Osceola's Tavern in Belmont and we moved away at 13. And I will say, I even wrote it in my 13 and in the eighth grade project that like the hardest thing to leave Belmont was Osceola's Tavern. Not just the friends and the school and stuff, but like the ownership. There was something that was ingrained in me that I liked owning a community place. And it was very community oriented down there. So then dad started another one in 2000 here when I was 16. And I basically have worked there on and off since I was 16. And again, being a young parent and being in college, it was always like a default job. And then my husband went through some job stuff, which we won't go into, but I finally just looked at him and said, you will be perfect at this. And this was around 2011, 2012. I was like, you need to just come work for the family. And that's kind of when we went all in for Osceola's Tavern.
And he really is so perfect at it.
I mean, I married somebody very similar to my father, different in many ways, which are good, but also like just a leader.
A people person.
A people person, yeah. So we've been running the bar and we've had to figure that out with young kids and working late nights. The pandemic definitely made a shift for us where he was able to start working during the day, which was great for our marriage and our family. My brother came back from college in 2013 and he also, his dream was to always be a part of the family business. So then we had to expand in our ideas of like, okay, how are we going to all be supported in one restaurant bar, which, you know, isn't easy.
No.
So, you know, we've expanded the bar, we got liquor license, and we've been looking for 8 years for another establishment. And we thought we were going to replicate ourselves and just in another downtown area.
You had before, but didn't work out.
Yes, we had Westside. And that was before we were really involved, though. And dad is such like a one, you know, he felt like he was cheating on his girlfriend having two places when it was by himself. But not having a group of people in a family, he was like, we can do this. We can do this. We're all in. Fast forward to the Rincon Valley. We just started to talk about what we wanted to see in our community. And Rincon Valley doesn't have that many restaurants. There are a few and they're busy, but it was time to have a place where family friendly, but also good cocktails, you know, and not have to drive downtown or drive to Sonoma.
Yeah, because it's a bitch to get from this part of town, you guys, to downtown. That takes you a solid 20 minutes.
Yeah, especially with the construction right now.
Yeah.
There's just not an easy way during high traffic times. So, opportunity arose and we took over this place in Skyhawk and we're open more often, which is good. And the one thing that we were all talking about was like, what's the concept going to be? And Sonoma County has amazing food. You know that, like food and wine and cocktails. And so there's a standard there that you want to hit. But I wasn't trying to focus too much on competing in that world. I want to, you know, hit a standard. But what can I bring to the table? And just through the Osceola culture, I know that we can bring a place of familiarity, a place of neighborhood vibes, a place where people feel comfortable to come as you are kind of place. So that's kind of why the concept of home slice came up. We had the wood fire oven pizza, but I also, it's like an old friend from the neighborhood. I want to immediately feel or people to walk in and feel comfortable.
And you do. You guys did such a good job at transitioning that restaurant from what it was to what it is now. It's like you do feel like you're walking into an extension of what you have downtown. And so watching you go through that, I mean, you deserve a round of applause because she did it during the holidays. She did it with three kids, two of them teenagers, you know?
And I will say that every time I was starting to feel a little overwhelmed because I was definitely leading a lot of that ship, I would remember that I had my brother, that I had my husband, that I had my dad to lean on. So when I did feel overwhelmed, I'd turn around and be like, okay, it's not just me.
Yeah.
You know, there's four of us here and we're really good communicators, even if it gets heated. Mm-hmm. We're Italian and we definitely yell. we definitely yell, but then we always make up and apologize and we never go to bed angry. Like that's any of the fires get put out.
Yeah.
So
you guys are a really good team.
We're a good team and we all bring different things. We all think differently.
Yeah.
My husband is just such like a go-getter and a really good people manager. And he doesn't really always think about the little details. And I analyze everything.
Yeah, that's her nickname, you guys.
And so I will definitely think way too much about things. And he's good at being like, oh my God, both him and my dad are, Leanna, you've overthought this. We're just going to scale it down. But it's good, too, because then I'm hoping that I'm not dropping a ball on, you know.
Yeah. Well, it all works out for sure. But I will say that Leanna puts so much, like, her children's lives are so busy.
So oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're all into sports.
I know. She's like, yeah, I signed Mac up for, like, travel soccer. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
I didn't do that. My husband did that. He goes, oh, he's trying out tomorrow night. That's how quickly I found out he was going to play competitive soccer.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
Like, and travel baseball at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how she does it. Like, I'm like, sorry, Austin, you get one sport.
Well, we do it. Matt does it. And Matt's the coach too a lot. So when he's the coach, we have a lot more control over practices and scheduling. Yeah. And it's a passion. And plus, little 8-year-old, he's been dragged along for years to all sorts of events. So it's his turn. And he's like, yes, for anything. I mean, he even told me, he's like, do you want me to take dance classes, mom? And I was like, I would love it because you're a good dancer. But no, we have no time.
Do not want to drive you there, damn
no,
it.
No, I don't want to drive
one
you.
One of Leanna's things.
She always says, she goes, driving.
No, and she's like, thank God for carpool.
Carpool is everything. Yes, carpool is everything. And I will text somebody I don't know that I found out lives near me. And I'll be like, hi, we're on the same team. Do you want a carpool? I don't even know what you look like.
This is great parenting advice, you guys. Carpool is life. Right.
Again, how we parent differently. I'm all, they're fine. They're fine.
And I'm like, I need a background check.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, my kid said they're fine.
They're good. Just she has a license. Pick them up five.
Yeah. Please, God.
Yeah, seriously. No, that is really good parenting advice. But do you have any other, like, how do you juggle it all besides carpool?
Well, you do say no. Yeah. You do say no. And we do... I mean, how do I juggle it all? Day by day, you figure it out. I feel like we do have a good balance. We stay busy, but we're used to that kind of busy. There's still nights where we're home. And it's funny because on the flip side right now, Ella only has volleyball 2 days a week. Only, you know, that's, and I'm like, you need something else to do. You're going to go to Home Slice
well,
once a week.
Keeping kids busy is really, you know, good.
Yeah, teenagers.
And
especially.
Talking about working at Home Slice, fun fact, Osceola's has employed a lot of
teenagers.
Well, no, a lot of my family.
Oh, Osceola. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. All the Iron Ridges except
pretty
for
much
Scotia and
Matt.
Matt.
Yeah, yeah. She had, Billy worked there?
Yes.
What?
Oh, yeah. I worked with Billy. Yep.
How did I not know? Billy had so many jobs.
Yeah. Billy worked there, like, actually, I think in two different stints.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he cook? Because he's a really good cook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we all did.
You all did. Yeah. Because prior to 2013, everybody had to cook.
I realized how much I don't love drunk men.
Oh, well, yeah.
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 You have to have like major boundaries. And coming in as a blonde with big boobs was just like a
for
recipe
sure. And
for
and Mark being there as a patron.
Yeah.
That was hard too.
Totally. And then Mark worked there.
Yeah. Mark even.
You guys,
for a
we
hot
all
second.
Were sort of employed by Osceola's at
like,
some
hey, can
point.
Can I have a job? Yes.
Yes, you can. But like, if I have to fire you, you can't get mad. Yeah. That was kind of like the stipulation, you know? But no, I think that everybody should work in the service industry like one time in their life. So then you do have an understanding and respect and patience for the service because it's really, really, really hard. But you guys, again, managed to do it well.
No, it creates good people. Like, you can tell when somebody's never worked at a restaurant.
Totally.
I mean, you parents. Pick them out right away. Like, oh, you're going to complain about that? Okay. I don't want to sit at the same table as you. I'm embarrassed.
Like, do you want to get back there? You try. Yeah. You know, like, yeah,
right?
Totally.
Right.
Oh, my God. Well, you guys are running such a well-oiled machine, and I'm very excited for having that in Rincon Valley, especially after Little League games, because there really wasn't much in that area.
Well, so. And I will mention something that my dad, just like for directive and for goals for the business, my dad has always just wanted to be the corner deli, you know, like likened to a corner street deli. Just he's more into longevity than lucrativity, if that's even a word.
But it is now.
Yeah, it is now. Being lucrative. And not that you need to be lucrative to survive, for sure. I mean, especially in Sonoma County. But he's more into having the longevity and passing this down to generations. So, yeah.
Well, it's really awesome to see the pride that your entire family has in the establishment. And you guys are very much, I would like use the analogy of Cheers, you know, like just your neighborhood family. Like, I feel like when I walk in, like, I can get away with anything.
Yeah.
I've danced on the bar before.
Oh, yeah.
Just round one.
But don't tell people that anymore, you know.
No.
Things have changed.
No, things that do not do that.
Do not do that.
Even if it's to Michael Bolton,
well,
it's a good time.
Oh, God.
They do not like it. It's frowned upon.
Well, our slogan is where everyone knows your game.
Oh, wait. How did I not know this?
It's on the back of our shirts.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I did not pay attention. Well, That's a really good one. Did you come up with that?
Of course I did.
Leanna is like so good with words, you guys. Were you a literature major?
Yeah. Yeah.
You were?
I was an English lit major, yeah.
She, like, I'll be like, Leanna, I need, you know, a poem for something. Or, like, oh, I reached out to you, like, recently. I'm like, okay, I want to do a scavenger hunt, but, like, I need like, clues. And I need it to, like, work within, like, 30 minutes, this bitch. Like, okay, I have it. And I'm like, perfect.
Well, and I love that kind of stuff because I'm not really using it that much with my job now. But, yeah.
I feel like you could write a book.
I know. I don't know.
Why?
I mean... That just sounds like...
Daunting?
Yeah, daunting. Like, what would I write it about? I like little assignments. I'm more of an editor, like a block of content, and you need it.
You're like a ghostwriter.
Like, okay, is that
maybe
what that
I
is?
Should write a book, and you should ghostwrite it.
Oh, if you write a book, I'm editing it. For sure. I'm helping.
You and my sister, because my sister's a teacher, and she finally told
me... She'll do the grammar. I'm not that great at grammar.
Well, for grammar, she's like, oh, God, I've given up telling you on your stories how many times you misspell something. I'm like, fuck off. I type quick, and auto text sometimes changes it, or I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, oh, well.
Oh, that, Matt can't spell either, too.
I mean, and I will say, like, I get annoyed when Mark will send an email and I'll be on and be like, Mark, you didn't use the right your.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Certain things need to be in correct context or, you know, grammar, but not stories. Who cares?
No, that's, yeah. Matt uses through, like he threw a ball.
Oh, God.
When he means the other through, like through and through constantly. And I should edit all of his emails.
English is hard. Okay.
Yeah, no, he can't spell. But actually, so Ella's really smart, too, and really good at school, straight A's.
She's like, amazing. Easy.
Yes, but she can't spell. So it must be genetic. I know. I laugh at her. One time in fourth grade, she misspelled words like multiple different ways in one essay. I had her in tears laughing. I was like, so we're just trying them all out. Probability one of them's going to be correct.
But none of them are.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's good to have a friend that like knows their language. Right.
Yeah.
But also annoying. And especially strangers who are like, you used the wrong two. I'm like, fuck off, Becky.
Yeah. I'm not annoying.
I don't care. Yeah. My sister used to. And I remember her. She'd be like, you misspelled. Like she'd side text me. And I finally got to the point where I was like, I'm not
done.
You know what, though? Fuck Instagram, because they should have a way on stories.
Red line underneath.
That, or let me go back in and edit it, you know? Because like, I'm not going to take an entire, this is such first world problems. This is so stupid.
As you're like, and I'm going to just edit myself right now.
Yeah, like, yeah. No one cares. Actually, so let's move the fuck on. Okay. let's talk about friendships again, and we'll circle back to this topic, because I get asked a lot in my Q&As every time, and I never know how to answer this, so I feel like you would be a good person to ask. A lot of people want to know or get ideas on how to make friends in their adult years. Like, if you were to go out right now and you, like, move to a new town, how the fuck would you make a friend?
Well, I mean,
it's hard.
There's a lot of different ways. And I would say, too, it's such an organic process of like
it is,
the
like
right
you can't
person.
Force it.
You can't force it. That's the worst, is when you feel desperation and somebody wants to be your friend really bad.
Oh, yeah.
And you're
like, I have some people that do that sometimes. And I'm like, girl, calm down.
Yeah. And then I feel bad because that just means it's not clicking and there's somebody else out there for you. But
because your energy truly does have to click.
I can only go with my experience of friends. So I had high school friends that I've kept, right? Which is also just lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But friends that I have met that are like new friends is a lot of mom friends, you know?
Yeah.
You're going through the same thing. So same age group.
You can commiserate together.
You commiserate together. And when you're, especially when you parent
the
same. Yeah. You become my carpool. You are my friend.
How to make friends in your adult years. Just carpool.
Carpool. Carpool. 100%.
Not together, just your children.
I mean, I look at them as rides, like they're back, they're back, they're back. If I have to do 50% of them, thank God. You
Seriously.
Know? Yeah.
I would suggest if you're really into art or if you're really into working out, like the gym's a great place, you know? Like
yes,
go up
the gym
and introduce yourself to somebody, you know? And like, you know, you might have to put yourself out there and you may not like become friends with everybody, but fuck it, you know, like just
people become friends at Osceola's, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah, go to Osceola's.
That is definitely a come as you are, and it's always comfortable to go by yourself. It really is.
Oh, I like, love that idea.
Yeah, and you're safe as a girl too.
Yeah, like they'll protect you.
Yeah,
for sure. And they know like which ones to look out for, so they'll keep an eye on the.
So
on
places
the
like that, there's other places around.
Yeah,
town
it doesn't have to be centric
like,
to drinking
coffee houses and things like that. You know, you do have to kind of put yourself out there. But I mean, if you have kids, the kid thing. If you don't have kids. Definitely the gym.
The gym or like, you know, what I did last year, like when I took a pottery class at like a community center, you know, like just like kind of seek your interest, because then if someone else is there, you automatically have some sort of same interest. So like you could click. But I do feel bad for people who are lonely, because like I hate knowing that someone's alone and it makes me
Well,
like
we
really
know a
sad.
Lot of people that have moved away too. And we know their struggle because they're still calling us and talking to us about how hard it is to make friends, you know, Shell and Kelly and, you know, they're doing it and maybe we should
your neighbors. Them. I know. Oh yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Kelly, peep into my DMs and tell me or text me and give me some
sister-in-law,
advice.
Which is also a cool connection. So Erica's sister-in-law, who married Mikey was my matron of honor.
Yeah.
Because she worked at the bar for 12 years. Mikey and Kelly met at the bar.
Yeah. Kelly is one of those. Kelly kind of reminds me of Tamara. Like,
yes.
No bullshit. Like, don't fuck with her.
Yes.
You know, but like, is such
I'm
a
drawn to
I would
like
hire
that.
Kelly in a heartbeat.
Oh, she hated this nickname, but we called her the general.
Yeah.
Because she told everybody what to do, including me.
And she don't give a fuck.
No.
No. That's why she has four kids and runs it like a boss.
Yes. Yes. Kelly's awesome.
Yeah. So, no, I feel bad for anybody that is lacking in the friend department, but don't give up. And again, like, put yourself out there, you know?
Yeah.
And also, but don't, like what you said, don't be desperate. I get so annoyed with desperate people. Like, I have people who will, like, text me all the time. I'm like, girl, like, we just,
no,
it's just not,
no,
it's not there.
Yeah.
Like, it has to click.
I was going to say on the flip side, like, sometimes don't think time is necessarily an issue with friendships too. Like, if you haven't seen somebody, but you truly love them and it's been 6 months, like, text them for a coffee,
yeah,
and then rekindle, you know, and not act like
it doesn't
but
have to
there's
be a big
no
deal.
Time passed. You yeah. know, you are.
That's
who
what
you
I
are.
Love about my friend Kelly is yeah. that, like, she's one of those people, like, she lives in the East Bay. She's my, like, high school friend, my only high school friend still around. And, like, there's never, you know what? Don't have expectations on people. Right? Like,
right.
I think people in friendships, like, have so much expectations and it just gets you in trouble. It starts drama. It's so lame. Like,
no, that's just the best thing about friendship is that you have expectations
as you are.
A mom, you have expectations as a wife, and you have to live up to those
yeah.
to a certain extent. When it comes to friends, it should be the easiest thing.
100%. Yeah. Well, so I have a question, and I heard that you were prepped on this fucking question.
Oh, yeah, I was. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Tony
who's
would like me
friend?
To ask... Tony would like me to ask, who's your favorite Arnridge?
Tony. Of course, he's the funniest. No, just kidding. Erica is my favorite Arnridge.
Thank you, Leanna.
Yeah, duh.
Duh.
But I duh. Do love all of them.
She loves them all
And I love the in-laws.
Oh, I know.
I love your family.
Oh, thank you.
I do. And I have a huge family.
Yeah, she comes from
and
a big family, so she gets it.
Yeah. And Mark comes from a big yes. family. Love Mark's family.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Well, from my memories of Sunday night dinners.
I know. I need to bring that back. You know what? I think once my kids are in the teenage years, like, I want to do, like, a Friday night taco night or something. Maybe
just
not Friday.
Just,
like,
a Sunday consistent night dinner. Open
yes,
house.
Yes. Like, yeah. anybody can come in. I'm going to have a fuck ton of tacos and just show up.
And you know what? Sometimes things once a month is good, you know, rather than
she does
every
not
week.
Like this once a week idea. She's like,
well, no, I'm
come.
Just saying if you want consistency
once a month.
Yeah.
That's, like, more realistic.
It is.
You're right.
It is.
I love this question that somebody asked, and I don't want to put you on the spot because I know okay. I did not prep Leanna with questions before.
No,
sometimes
I
do.
I was nervous, actually.
You're good. Somebody asked, what are your favorite things about one another?
Oh, okay. I want to think.
Okay. She wants to think about it.
Already got to think about it.
I got to think about it a little bit. I prepped this like last night after some wine. So sorry. But.
Well, I had wine too.
Oh, perfect. No, we're not drinking either. It's like mm-mm. 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. On a Sunday. Not that that matters, but whatever.
Maybe next time we should drink.
I love how vulnerable you are. And I love how there's no judgment from you. I can call you and be like, I shit my pants. And you're like, okay, how do we deal with it? You know? Yeah.
Do you need toilet paper?
Do you want to eat?
What do you need from me?
But no, like you are the most loyal person in the entire world, and you will be there no matter what. I know that if I have a problem and I call you, like, you're just like gonna give it to me straight. You're not gonna bullshit me. And you have been there through so much. I mean, every hard moment since like I've met you, you know, like we've been through life, we've been through death together. Like, we're gonna cry.
Yeah.
And you're a stable friend. And I know that even if I told you that you're being a fucking bitch, not that I ever have really,
I know,
but
I'm
mean,
like,
sometimes
I don't know.
We've fought, you know, but like you're
philosophically
there.
Fought. I feel yeah. like if anything, when we fight, it's on philosophy,
yes.
things that are outside of our concrete
because
life.
We're two very passionate people. And we are strong in our convictions, you know, especially when we went through the pandemic. We had a lot of that was probably like a hard time in our friendship because there was so much uncertainty and we felt differently, but also very
we were
much
reacting.
The same. Yeah.
We were reacting differently and we were vulnerable, like mm-hmm. you said, and we were trying to understand what was happening at the same time, but we were understanding it differently.
Totally.
But I also clung to your the conversations. Like
yeah.
I wanted them.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you. And I was so sick of talking to anybody else. Like
yeah.
or the chatter that was constant outside of us.
Right.
And we respected each other so much in the unknown.
Yeah.
We were both in the unknown.
And we were able to like cry and be angry and like frustrated and
yes.
and scared. I mean, there were times where I'm like, what the fuck? This is so like we take on the energy, I feel like, both of us in like naturally, you know? And I was just like, everyone's so afraid, but like, I'm not afraid. And I'm annoyed that people are annoyed that I'm not a fucking afraid, right? You know, like
we that agreed was really on that. Hard.
Yeah.
And we
I
was both like, agreed on
I
that.
Feel like everybody wants me to be scared and I don't want to be scared. I'm tired of being scared. I'm tired of being looking around me in my community and like, wondering what the fuck, you guys calm down, you know? And I get it. Like, I'm not trying to like discount how deadly and how scary it was. And we lost someone close to us from COVID, you know? And it was really frustrating, but I also just knew deep down, I'm like, I can't live like this.
That's where we agreed. Yeah. I
was like, I can't do this.
We were going in circles a lot about things, everything. And it was like the political stuff. I mean, there was so much, but we both leaned towards positivity.
Yeah.
And we need to live that. We have to vibrate in positivity. And so every time there was discussions and we weren't necessarily agreeing on like the conclusion, which again was like, we need more data. Like it was always like, we don't fucking know. Like we're going to argue, but nobody knows anything right now, really.
We're all just going by the
I was very Socratic. Yeah. I think you were like, oh my Leanna God, stop.
Leanna is, I don't want to say Switzerland because you do have an opinion, but Leanna's the most fair person I know. Like she wants to see both sides, which I love her for, but I also hate her for because I'm like, no, pick a fucking side, bitch.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I get annoyed because I'm like, I can pick a side.
I mean, I get frustrated with myself. It's the indecisiveness of, I feel like the Libra in me or whatnot, but it's also very like, I was a philosophy major before I was an English lit major. So I tend to just question everything, including myself, including my perspective. Yeah. And then I'm just always like, well, devil's advocate. Well, on always. This side. And it's obnoxious to myself as well. I will admit that. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, and in COVID, I was like, no. Like, you have to pick a side. You have to pick a side here. Like, come on.
And I was like, we can't.
No, we can't do that.
We don't have any data.
So she keeps me balanced.
Yeah.
You do. You keep me balanced and you make me a fairer person. You make me look at things from both sides, which I try to do, but I am much more like, no, fuck that. They're wrong. I'm right. Or that person's wrong. That person's
and
right.
And like, let me just say, that's one of the things I most value about you.
Oh, thank you.
Is your conviction. And you inspire me because I probably like had the confidence to go start this new business because I've watched you do so many amazing things in your career.
Thank you.
And you're fucking doing it. You know, like this podcast. I listen to podcasts.
Yes,
and
she does.
You don't.
I don't.
I'm like, I had to actually stop listening to too many podcasts because it was too much input and, you know, fucking with my head. But like I'm a constant like gatherer of information and you have inspired me to do. There's thinking and there's doing, you know, and I can think all day long, but that's one thing I will say right now. I'm still trying to think of like all, I mean, well, no, there's everything.
Thank you for that. Like, and Mark was you're starting a podcast. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's just go with it.
And you know what? That's vulnerability too. I like that you just put you out in the world and I can attest to this. You do not overthink about how people are going to see you. And, you know, you are who you are.
Yeah. Would you say, because you're a good person to ask, because again, she's not going to bullshit us, is what people see on Instagram what they would get in real life with me?
I mean, for sure. Polished in some ways.
Yeah.
Right. But like,
I have a lot more opinions on very important topics in the world that I don't share on there.
I was going to say that. I was like, but
a lot of people,
yourself.
And I do. I have to protect myself. I've learned the hard way by not doing that because whether I look like I'm a person that's like I give no fucks, I do.
But everybody knows that already.
Yeah.
Like you give no fucks on like one end, but then, this person made me cry and now I'm going to, you know, get Venmo and send them money. You know, like that's giving a fuck. You give a fuck. So it's.
But what people say, even if they're a stranger. You. Yeah. Like I do take it personally sometimes, depending on the delivery too, because people are really mean.
Yeah.
And they're really critical. And I do admire people who really can just like water over duck's back, but like I don't. And that's why like, especially on important topics in the world, I don't feel like I'm an expert and I don't feel like it's responsible of me to share my opinion on a lot of things.
Yeah. And I mean, you've grown in this.
Right.
You know,
I've learned
big time.
The hard way.
You've learned a lot.
Yeah.
And I've been there through all of it. You know, what's funny is like, even a couple years ago, I would say, quite a few years ago, because I remember the day you called me and said that you were going to, with the whiskey and lace thing, like when you were like, I'm going to start a blog. I was actually sitting on the top of my stairs at my condo and you had just come back from Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you had just come back from Hawaii and you were, that was when you had the epiphany, like, I'm going to do, I'm going to be a blogger.
Mm-hmm. You're like, okay.
I was like, okay, you're going to write? Like, I'm a writer. At the time, I was still like just out of college. But I've said this to people. I've said, like, I am so insanely proud of her for doing what she's doing, even if I, like, in the beginning didn't understand it, you know, because I didn't know what was
going on. I didn't know what I was doing
a blogger was going to, what were you going to blog about, Erica?
Yeah.
And also I was like, and there's just no part of me that would do what you do, you know, like, so it's funny how when sometimes when you want to emulate you, like somebody, when you're inspired because you want to do that too, like, I wouldn't want to be an influencer. I couldn't. But I am so insanely, like, excited for you on everything that you've been able to accomplish in this world. I'm a huge fan of yours. And people are like, is she the same? I'm like, yeah, she really is. Like, that's Erica. I mean, she is. Without, let's not get into, like you said, the politics and things like that. But I mean, you're dancing. I can't videotape myself and then rewatch it. I can't do that.
I just pretend no one's watching. And that's
I know.
How
and you're
just
like, I'm just going to put my camera up here and I'm going to dance to Celine Dion right now. I'm like, oh my God, I love you. And she really does do that too without the camera.
No, I do. You know? Yeah, for sure.
It's not an act.
No. And I really, like, one of my biggest, not goals, because it's stupid, but one thing that I really, really hope is when people meet me, they say, oh, she is who that is, you know? Like, everybody always says to me, though, it's kind of funny. They're like, you're way shorter in real life.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've heard that, too, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're really short. I'm like, yeah, I'm 5'3", bitch. I'm not 5'10". But people think it's weird. I don't know why I translate so tall on Instagram.
Like, it must be the TV thing, too. Like, people do that.
Yeah. Like,
they think you're taller.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know Tom Cruise is really short?
I'm not surprised. He seems short.
He probably has a little dick, too.
Like, is he, like, 5'3"? Is he only 5'3"? Maybe 5'6".
We're going to have to probably 5'6".
That's my dad. And my dad's short.
Oh, I love your dad. Okay. So to wrap
Hold on. I didn't say enough about our friendship. And,
okay.
So you have the biggest heart.
Oh, thank you.
You do. I always think of, like, if any one of your friends needs something, you are the first person. And all of us can attest to that. Like, you want to help. And you're really good at knowing how to help, too. Like, even just chicken noodle soup. Or, you know, like, let me go pick somebody up or your kids up. Or, you know, you just know how to help. And
I try to just go into action.
You go in, you do. You don't.
Like, especially if I feel out of control, like, the first thing to do is like, okay, fine, fuck it. Let's figure it out.
Yes, yes. And you vibrate on that frequency too. You just, you do things. You are a doer. And again, that kind of goes back to the inspiring me to get out of my head.
Yeah.
And do. But I love you.
I love you. Yeah. Okay, so to wrap up this podcast, it's a very important question. And Leanna and I, we literally could talk about food.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. Like, if Leanna goes to dinner, I'm like, okay, what'd you get? What should I get? Like, how was it?
We take pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Send
like,
it.
It's like, food is like a love language to us for sure. So it's very important. And I will judge you on this question.
Uh-oh.
What is your favorite sandwich? Like, what makes your favorite sandwich?
Oh, God. We didn't even talk about don't be your dry sandwich.
Don't be a dry sandwich
right
now.
Will not be dry.
No, you love an aioli.
Oh, yeah. I like sauce. I'm a sauce person.
Yeah, that's why we go on.
You need to know my favorite sandwich?
Yeah, what's in it?
Oh, it's honey sliced ham.
Oh, okay. The deli.
Yes, I have a favorite sandwich. I've had this sandwich given to me after birth of all three of my children.
Okay? Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, go to honey sliced ham. After, and I think I even had it after like my surgery for my back when I was 14 because I've been going to Honey Sliced Ham that
long. Honey Sliced Ham, if you are local and you have not been to this deli, you have to go.
Okay. Well, now I'm going to do a little plug. Okay. So Lauren Feldman introduced me to Honey Sliced Ham.
Oh, she did.
Yes.
And
Lauren Feldman owns Valley in Sonoma, Valley Bottle and Bar.
They have a good sandwich.
Bar and Bottle. And they have a mortadella that we did on Christmas Eve.
So it's good.
So good.
That's the only time I've ever had that. And I still think about that sandwich.
I know.
What the fuck are we doing?
We need to go back. And Swim Club is their new place on Arnold
Drive.
I have
to try that. Have you been there yet?
Yes.
Is it good?
Yes, it's really good. Of course it is.
Of course it's good.
I mean, the food is just stellar.
Fantastic.
Yes. And the whole vibe. It's so cute there. So anyways,
she's good at what she does.
Super proud of her.
Yeah.
Anyways, honey sliced ham. It's like kind of a weird sandwich. It is a hot chicken pesto sandwich.
Yeah.
Your face.
one is on this.
Because your face just went, ew.
No, I'm down with pesto for sure. Yeah.
It's on their Dutch Crunch.
They have the best Dutch Crunch. Where the fuck does Margaret owns the place? She's the cutest.
Do they make it there? I feel like they make it there.
We have to ask this question.
I'm going
to
ask her. Yeah. Because it is
the best. Whenever I post that my favorite sandwich comes on a Dutch Crunch, everyone's like, what the fuck is Dutch Crunch? Is it a California thing?
No, sourdough is more of like a California thing.
But a lot of people don't know what the hell Dutch Crunch is. And if you have not had Dutch Crunch, you need to have Dutch Crunch.
Yes. But this one in particular is the best. Because you can have a bad one if it's dry. Can't have it, you know.
Yeah, like it can't be too big.
Yeah, or too, like, it will scratch your mouth.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This one's, okay, and I add, they used to have, it sounds weird, raspberry wasabi mustard.
Ew.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't really do mayo.
With the pesto?
With the pesto.
Leanna.
No, I even had an autistic guy one time come in and be like, he was standing next to me, I know him, okay, and he's like, that's just disgusting. As I was ordering at home, or at Honey Sliced Ham, I was like, no, trust me, it's really good. Now, three people in my family eat this sandwich. Okay, it's so good.
So you got pesto, you got Dutch Crunch, you've got raspberry Dijon.
It's a spicy sweet mustard. So Okay. Now they don't have that one as much anymore. So I do like the Tobinus mustard. So they're the mustard
deli. What
the
fuck is that?
They have so many mustards
there. Yeah, they do.
So, and they used to have the pretzels and you could taste them.
COVID ruined that.
Yeah, I know. And then avocado, lettuce, tomato, onion. And it's hot. So the toasted
chicken
and hot.
Or turkey?
Chicken.
Is it chicken. Like a chicken breast?
Or? Yes. It's a chicken breast. Yeah. I know it doesn't sound that it is so good.
Okay. I trust you.
And I eat it with salt and vinegar chips.
Ooh, yum. Do you put it inside sandwich?
Of course I do. Oh. And I've always done that.
It's so good.
You need the crunch.
I mean, you need the crunch on top of the Dutch crunch.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh my God. If you have not tapped out already on this podcast, you are now.
You're like, Leanna, that sandwich is disgusting. No, I've been eating it for 20 plus years.
Oh, and we have to talk about, because if you go, or when you go, because if you are not convinced already that you need to go check out Honey Sliced Ham, how good is her poppy seed cake?
I was going to say all her baked goods. Oh. And her cookies don't even look like they're cooked. No. They're amazing.
This little lady named Margaret has owned it, I think, for like 35 years.
Okay. I was going to say it's got to be 30 plus years.
And I swear across to God, from if she ever decides to sell that place and no one buys it, I'll fucking buy it.
I think we both have to.
We have to. Like, we can't let that go out of business.
And we keep it the name.
100%.
And all the kitschy stuff in there.
Yeah. You know what's so funny?
Her decor.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's really weird. It's like very old school.
It's timeless.
It looks like an old Betty Crocker cookbook. That is what it looks
like. From the 70s.
Yes. Yes. Mark and I went in there one time. And again, like, I am not talking shit about this business because I love it.
I'm an avid customer.
He's like, I don't know how you love this place so much. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean? He's like, Erica, she just heated up the stuff for your sandwich in styrofoam.
Oh. Which probably happens every time I order mine.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to pay attention to those things. I don't care. He's like, no. For somebody that cares about their toxic overload, you go there.
There's just, hey, we're surviving.
She's fine. Old school.
It's called balance.
It is.
Yeah. No, but I think she makes the bread. So.
Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. That's good. All right. We will officially tap out for you.
I'm going to go get that sandwich
today. We should go do that.
Yeah. You have to try it.
All right. We're going to go get the sandwich. Thank you for being on here. I love you. You'll have to review this on your own. Like, listen back to it.
I'm going to cringe the whole time.
No, you won't.
I don't like my voice. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
All right, love you.
Love you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, friends, that's all for today's episode of the Whiskey and Lace podcast. If you liked what you heard, please share the love and leave a review. And remember to join the Whiskey and Lace community by following me on TikTok and Instagram at Whiskey and Lace. And send me a DM to say hi and mention this episode. I'd love to meet you. See you next week.